way of talking about what it would be like to be separated from God forever and have all goodness removed from us. Well, we might want to think more about whether that's the case, but he's spot on with the other side. He says, if that's not your fate, if you are heading in the other direction, you will be transformed into the kind of person that if you met them now, you would be tempted to fall down and worship. Because you will be so glorious. God is not planning to sneak you into the new creation via the back door and make you stand by the tradesman's entrance out of the way on sufferance as long as you don't move in too far and make too much noise. Do you know that hymn, "I Will Sing the Wondrous Story"? You could do it without music now, of course. But there's various different versions of the words, but one of the slightly older versions of the word has this fantastic line. It says, "We will be made by grace for glory meet." Now, meet is a very old-fashioned word, but what it means is fitting and appropriate. And I love that line because it's a summary of what the Bible is teaching us, that saying that we will be made absolutely fitting for the new creation. We will not feel or look or be out of place in that glorious new creation, because we will be transformed by the grace of God into something incomprehensible to us now. We will fit in the new creation. We will be remade. We will be unashamed. We will no longer be torn by our past sins and our present sinful desires. We will be remade and we will be glorious. And it's part of God's plan that we will display his glory as well as his grace. Do you see this in verse 19? Don't worry, we're not going slowly through the whole passage, but this is important. In verse 19, the creation waits in eager expectation for God to be revealed. No. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. It's not just us saying, are we nearly there yet? All of creation is waiting for this. In some sense that I cannot begin to understand, every whale and wombat and microbe and supernova is waiting for God to reveal his glory in you guys. And in every other Christian, whoever is or ever was, the whole of creation is going to be set free at the point when God reveals his glory fully in us. Look at verse 21. Do you see what it says? The creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of God. No, brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. But God intends us, purely by grace, to be the means by which his glory is displayed to that new creation. Would I be right in saying that for many of us, that is higher than we normally dare dream of when we think of the world to come? But it's there. We are not to be arrogant about this, but we are not to imagine that what God promises is something small, something grudging. He promises us glory. We don't deserve it. He will have to remake us to show it, but that is his plan. It's breathtaking, isn't it? What an amazing hope to have ahead. But that is ahead, and in the meantime, it is hard. We're looking ahead to glory, but that glory isn't here yet, and my goodness, doesn't it show? Don't look at the people next to you. In fact, the reason that Paul starts talking about glory at all is he's aware that the Roman Christians he's writing to are suffering. It could be persecution, or it could just be the ordinary difficulties of life. And I say ordinary, but that doesn't mean they're any easier, does it? You know, sickness, bereavement, relationship breakdown, depression, mistrust, unkindness, failed hopes, our struggle with our own sin, our suffering at the hands of the sins of others. I mean, there's a lot, isn't there? And I'm almost certain that the person sitting next to you is suffering more than you realize, because most people are. And Paul doesn't say that those things are nothing. He doesn't say, you know, just put on a happy face. He says, he doesn't say they're nothing, but what he does say is that they're not worth comparing with the glory to come. The glory to come is off the scale, and it will just blaze away even the greatest suffering in comparison. The pain is great, but the glory will be greater, much, much greater. We are not there yet, but the glory will be worth it. And there isn't just suffering, there is groaning. There's a lot of groaning in this passage. Verse 22, the creation groans or has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth. There'll be people in this room who understand that much more deeply than I do. We groan. We're waiting for our new resurrection bodies. Even if we don't realize it, all our hopes and our longings that things will get better, they're actually all pointing us to that day when we will be risen and remade. And the whole creation is waiting for that with us. We haven't seen it yet, but we know it's coming. And we're encouraged here in verse 25 to wait for it patiently. But nonetheless, even though we are patiently waiting, we want to get there. We groan because we know where we're going. And we know we're not there yet. No, we're not there yet, but the glory will be worth it. But I said there was a lot of groaning in this passage, and the amazing thing is God groans too. Have a look at verse 26. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I have to say I had a rather garbled memory of that verse, and in my head it was like we groan, but the Spirit interprets that into words. But that's not what it says, is it? It's the Spirit himself who groans with groanings too deep for words. By his Spirit, God groans on our behalf. When we are struggling to pray, which in my case basically means whenever I'm trying to pray at all, God himself steps in and prays to himself on our behalf. And he does that not with wonderful eloquence, but in the kind of groans that you and I turn to when the words aren't enough. Which is amazing, isn't it? We're not there yet, but God is with us in our groaning. And although the here and now may look chaotic and disordered and destructive, have a look at verse 28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Again, we could spend a whole evening on that, but just notice that he doesn't work for our comfort. Doesn't say he works for our ease. Doesn't say that he works to keep us from pain and suffering and loss, but he is always working for our good. I know it's a sort of hackneyed illustration, but I don't think when my children were little and I made them brush their teeth every night or forced them to eat vegetables that they thought I was working for their good because they would prefer to have done something else. But I was working for their good. God is the same. One day, from the perspective of eternity, we'll be able to look back and praise God even for those things that right now we find hardest and most painful. And I think it's worth saying, we don't have to sort of shortcut that. Those of you who've been with us, who've been journeying through Lamentations, one of the major themes of that book is that it is acceptable to cry out when we suffer. We don't have to kind of put on a happy face and pretend everything's okay. God, in his word, gives us words to cry out in suffering and pain. But one day, when we see things from God's perspective, we will understand how he was working for our good, even in those awful things. And we will praise him for that. God has a plan to make you, if you are trusting in Christ, to make you like Christ, to conform you to the image of his Son. He has predestined us. He has decided that we will be his. He's called us. He's allowed us to hear that call to faith through the gospel. He has justified us. He's made us right in his sight through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And he will glorify us. In fact, it's so certain that he's going to do that, that Paul can speak of it as something that's already happened. He has glorified us. We are not there yet, but we certainly will be. Because God has determined we will be. That long car journey, I may get a puncture that I know nothing what to, how to do with. The AA may not come out. We may have to turn round and go home. The traffic may get too bad. We may miss the ferry. Whatever it might be. Anything could happen on my journey from A to B. But nothing is going to stop God completing his plan for you as a follower of Jesus Christ. Nothing is going to stop him conforming you to the likeness of his Son. Nothing is going to stop him glorifying you and demonstrating his glory to his new creation through you, because he does not change his mind about things like that. Given all of this, we do face suffering and we face groaning now, but we do that with confidence in God. We do that with confidence in his goodness towards us. God has shown he is for us. He's given us his Son. And there is nothing greater he could give for us than that. And you know, if he's prepared to go that far, if he's prepared to give us his Son, then we can be certain that he is for us, that he is willing to do all that is necessary to get us there. However unlikely you may think it is for you, he is determined that he will make this happen. He is going to remake his creation. He is going to remake you, and he is going to give you his glory to show to that new creation. And nothing and no one is going to get in the way of that. No amount of trouble that you get yourself into, or somebody else gets you into, no amount of hardship, no amount of persecution, no amount of lack, no amount of suffering or danger or loss can change the fact of where we're going or the certainty of God's commitment to get you there. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For now we experience that love of God in Christ in the midst of temporary groaning. One day, we will know that love of God in Christ in the midst of never-ending glory. Are we there yet? No. Will we get there? Yes, we will. I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. Amen.